Simon Kadish has done his duty at the head of the SEN Test cricket team for the summer. Simon, good morning and well done.
Thank you, Jared. Good morning to you.
How did you come away from it all?
Look, it was a confidence booster for Australia, but it has to be put in context that, you know, Sri Lanka are struggling at the moment. They've got a young team. There's a fair bit of turmoil off the field. We saw the politics in their cricket and being run by the sports ministry rather than the actual Sri Lankan cricket board. So, you know, they've got a lot going on and they've had a troubled couple of years. So in terms of the opposition, I think Australia would have got a stronger opposition from potentially, you know, one of the state teams. So they struggled in our conditions, particularly at the Gabba. We thought they'd probably be better suited to the wicket at Manukau Oval, and there were signs at times that they certainly enjoyed batting there more, but Australia's attack was just too quick for them, and particularly Mitchell Starc. And then the batting, they just have no firepower in the bowling to put any of our batsmen under any threat other than the two new ball periods. And as soon as the new ball wore off for them, they found it very difficult to have any sort of impact with both pace and spin.
Simon, when we spoke on the first morning of the test, the last thing I asked you was who are the players who had the most riding on the last game to get something either for themselves or for their reputation and the place in the team, and you nominated Starc and Khawaja, and both got what they were craving. What are those performances worth, do you think?
Well, they're a lot. They're worth a lot internally. I think from Usman Khawaja's point of view, you could see how much it meant to him when he got the three figures. Whilst the test match had been set up by the dominance in the first innings by Burns and Head and Curtis Patterson, he knew that he was on a hiding to nothing in the second innings. You know, he gets runs, everyone expects him to. If he doesn't get runs, the knives are out. So for him to be able to perform like that, you know, would have done his confidence the world of good, given what he's gone through this summer. And he alluded to that afterwards when he spoke to the press about his brother's situation. So, you know, he was relieved and probably takes a big confidence booster out of that. What the future holds for him now, we're not sure because of the one-day squad and whether he goes to India or whether he gets to play the four Shield games for Queensland. So I'm assuming he'll probably go to India with the ODI side. So that has a little bit of an impact on, you know, getting back to playing a lot of red ball cricket against Duke balls. But, you know, he came out of it positively from his own point of view. And then Mitchell Starc, I mean, his pace was outstanding. He was over the 150k mark and bowling at really searing speeds with a lot of bounce. And it just looked like once he got through the new ball, his first spell in the first innings wasn't the best, but he came back really well and he got a lot of their top order out, which was, you know, a big plus for him. And particularly yesterday, you know, a couple of the balls that he got, you know, to Karun Naratne taking his leg bail was an absolute beauty with the new ball. And then he got Dick Weller as well, who was in pretty good form with one that sort of kept a bit low. So he was certainly a lot more happy than he was coming into the test. And I think, you know, Australia would have been buoyed by that performance from him.
One of the key measures that Australia put in place some time ago to try to improve against England in English conditions was using the Duke ball at the back end of the Shield season. If that's ultimately to be effective, Simon, should Australia leave its Test players at home to play in those Shield rounds rather than take them to the one-day series?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think we learned a lot from this two-Test series in the fact that when you look at someone like Curtis Patterson's preparation, he played in the tour match down in Hobart, got two unbeaten hundreds, and he was ready to play Test cricket. Yes, the opposition wasn't great, but he performed accordingly when he got his chance. He had a bit of luck. He got dropped first ball in the second Test, but, you know, he ended up playing really well and getting the 100. When you look at someone like Marcus Harris, who had a really good Test summer, and then he comes into the Sri Lankan series on the back of three BBL games, he came in like a totally different opener. He was swinging at balls. He was playing at balls he shouldn't have to, particularly up in Brisbane. And whilst he got 40-odd, he looked like a different player with a different tempo. So you'd like to think that, you know, obviously Marcus Harris won't be going to India, but there'll be a couple of guys that probably could benefit from playing those four Shield games. And I think Usman Khawaja is one of them, even though he is a very experienced player. But I'm sure that the ODIs are probably going to take precedence because it is a World Cup and Australia probably haven't settled on their best 11 yet. And, you know, Khawaja is a quality player when he's in form, not only in red ball cricket, but also in white ball cricket, as his one-day numbers suggest, particularly, you know, for Queensland over the years. So That's going to be the tough decision, what they do. But I think that the bulk of the test team, and we saw, you know, Patterson will go back to New South Wales, Harris will go back to Victoria. I think Burns will go back to Queensland, same with Labuschagne. So Travis Head's another interesting one. He potentially could squeeze his way back into the ODI team after, you know, having a quiet series against South Africa at home. So they'll have a couple of tough and tricky decisions to make. But the good thing is there's a number of our players that are going to be going over to England for a stint of county cricket, both before the World Cup and even before the Ashes. So you'd like to think that stint will hold a few of them in good stead, particularly if they do get picked.
Yeah, I heard you talk about the role that county cricket plays during the test coverage. That's on our socials. It's absolutely worth revisiting. Have you been supportive of the idea of the Duke being used at the back end of the Shield season? Does it give anything like the experience that England does to try to improve in those conditions where when the ball swung, Australian batsmen for a while now have been found wanting?
Yeah, look, initially I wasn't convinced because I just think our conditions are so different to England, and particularly when you're getting like hot, sunny days and wickets without much grass on them. But if the conditions are similar to England with grass on the wicket and you get the odd day that's, you know, a bit cloudy and overcast, then they do have a role to play. And I think from all reports, the players have been really, really positive about using the Duke ball. So potentially that's something that ideally you don't want to be chopping and changing balls throughout the season. I think a few years ago there was three different balls, but including the pink one. But I think the reports from the players have been very positive because the ball does consistently swing. And it provides quite an attacking game because the bowlers are encouraged to pitch the ball up. But the batsmen know if they use good technique, there's plenty of scoring opportunities just like there is in England with the ball being pitched up a lot and bowlers trying to swing it. So I think it's been positive, and I think not only has it been used from that point of view, but from all reports it was used as a bit of a way to maybe provide some competition with Kookaburra. So I guess it has been a positive from all reports.
Do you think there's clarity around what Australia's planning is for the Ashes now? I saw that Haddo got you to nominate your team for the first test, as well as the 11, just the broader squad. Do you think there are more answers than there were when we broke up at the end of the Sydney test after India?
See, I said to Haddo I didn't really want to do it at this point in time because I just think it's way too early. But having done it for the sake of the exercise, I think it's hard because what we've just seen in these two tests hasn't really provided us with a clearer idea of who's done well under pressure, because I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, we didn't score 100 over four tests against India, who had a high-quality, experienced attack, and then we go to play Sri Lanka and all of a sudden we get four test centurions in one test match on what was a very good batting wicket. So whilst the boys played well, it didn't really give us a clear indication of how guys are going to go, you know, when the pressure's on in their first 10, 20 balls against a quality attack where the ball might be moving around. And that's the hard part. That's why I think it needs to be, you know, the squad probably needs to be named as late as possible so it can take into consideration, you know, even potentially what the form and fitness is like of David Warner and Steve Smith if they feel like they're going to bring him straight back in after their bans, or how Cameron Bancroft's going, particularly him playing county cricket, or how some of the other players have done at the back end of the Shield season. So I just think there's so much time to go and so much cricket to be played that I don't think they need to rush those decisions just yet.
To listen to coach and captain is to understand that Warner and Smith are coming back. Are you supportive of that?
Yeah, look, I think you can look at it both ways. I mean, I'm still partly, you know, once he's served his time, he's like everyone else. He's done his time and served his ban. So there's that side of it where, you know, he's got to be treated like anyone else. A ban's a ban. And when you've done your time, if provided you've behaved accordingly. And from all reports, David Warner played at my club team in Sydney for Randwick Petersham. And from all reports, he has been absolutely magnificent in what he's done on and off the field with the club and in the community. So I would have thought he's learned a valuable lesson from this experience, and I'd be very, very surprised if it was to ever happen again. So, given the nature of the ban. So, look, you'd like to think that they're going to continue doing that for the next couple of months, and then hopefully both of them recover from their elbow injuries. And I think with their experience, I think Justin Langer and Tim Payne would welcome them back into that team. You know, provided they are going to adhere to the new sort of culture that they're trying to cultivate, and I would have thought both players would be right behind that. So, yeah, from my point of view, it's just more about them getting back out and proving their form and fitness.
Simon, it's been great to have you as part of our SEN Test cricket coverage. Terrific to work with you across the four tests, and you've been great listening while I've been away as well. The other night I was doing my work, I had a packet of chips and a bud, because that's the sort of diet on the road, isn't it? My 48-page guide for the Patriots, so my 480-page guide for the Patriots and you guys on the radio. It was terrific.
Don't sell yourself short, Jared. I knew it was 480, but... Thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you and the rest of the crew, and hopefully we provided a nice listening for the public, and they've enjoyed it.